Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 13. The book of Judges, chapter 13. You know, whatever it is that, I always tell my wife, I said, whatever it is that our personal struggle is, if you can find the door, then you can show everybody else where it's at. Paul had something he asked the Lord to take away three times, and the Lord wouldn't do it. And some people thought maybe it's a sin he had. Other people thought it was a physical ailment he had. And we know it was a messenger of Satan, so whatever it was, wasn't happy times for sure. As he learned to deal with that, do you know he showed us how to deal with our problems? How many times have you used that verse? For his grace is sufficient. How many times have you used that? You know, the only reason why you got that verse is somebody went down a dark road and found a door, showed us where it's at, you know? So as people do that, that's, to me, interesting. And I don't look at these guys as drug addicts. They're just people, just like me. I am interested in the power that they tapped. I'm interested in the power that Margaret Stringer, that lady missionary. I'm interested in the power that was inside of her the day that she said she was going to go to a naked tribe in Papua New Guinea by herself. I'm interested in whatever power was inside of her that convinced her to do that. If we can unlock that power, poof, I'm interested in that power. When you see God do something in somebody, through somebody, I want to know how it happened, where it happened, what they did to get it to happen, why. I'm interested in that power. Amen? I mean that's some earth-moving, God-only stuff that interests me, because they're just people. And that means that maybe that same power can help me. Anyway, let's pray. We'll get on the Judges. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us just as we spend a little time in the book of Judges tonight. Lord, learning from the past to help the present. Jesus, thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving in our lives. May we find hope in you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And Judges, and let's go down to verse 23. And we don't have time to go all over verse 13, but chapter 13, verse 23. And verse 22, after Manoah spent some time with that angel, he said, and Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we've seen God. Next thing right after that, but his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. And I like that. Here's what she said. She said her husband was worried because he'd actually seen some of heaven. I mean, he actually, in his mind, thought he saw God. And he thought, God's just going to kill us. And his wife said, if he wanted to do that, he would already have done that, and he wouldn't have showed us these things. And here's how I apply that in my life. You know, I believe God has, how come I can get on an airplane and go to Africa and not worry about it? Long flight, thing can go in the ocean. I've done it a lot, so my number could be up. Honestly, you know what I think? I think that God's not done with Africa yet. That plane's coming home. You know, I have given God plenty of reason to take me out. He doesn't need coronavirus in order to do that. There have been plenty of things he's witnessed from heaven that he had every right to push the eject button. And I couldn't have said anything to him about it. So in the middle of me trying to do right, the chances of that button getting hit are a whole lot less than when I'm not doing right, correct? And what she's trusting in the fact that God told her she's going to have a baby. She's resting in the fact that God told her that there's a job she's got to do. She's got to raise that baby, her and her husband. And she's resting in that job. And what she's saying is, God, we don't need to be afraid. That God's got something for us to do, and when he's done, that's when we'll go home. And why would God tell us we're going to have a baby and then just to go around and kill us? And here's what you can understand about these uncertain times that we live in. If God's not finished with you yet, then you're not leaving. And if he is, you are. You know, if your job on this earth is done, your testimony's gone as far as it can, and it's time for somebody else to pick up where you left off, then that's when you're going to go home. I figured, now some people, he was done with David Livingston at 32. He said, David, thank you. Thank you for surrendering your life to Africa. Thank you for opening up the interior. Your job's done at 32. I'm going to bring you home. Because by bringing you home, I'm going to unleash an army of missionaries that are going to take your place. His job's done. And we can rest in that. That's comfortable to know that. It just like with cowboy camp. You know, why would you go do that in the middle of coronavirus? Because I figured there's a little bit of safety in doing right. You know, I mean, like I said, there's been lots of times God could have been, you know, duly offended by me, you know, and what they were counting on was the job that God wanted him to do, and he's not done yet. So I just thought that was neat. That's how she dealt with that. And let's go on down to chapter 14, and we'll start here a little bit, see how far we get. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Now, immediately in chapter 3, his father wasn't happy about that because he wasn't supposed to go down there. And, I mean, the Philistines, they were pagans. They were going to have nothing in common at all. And this is going to be a detriment to his ministry. And his father said, why can't you pick one here? Why do you need to go to the Philistines, to the uncircumcised people, and pick a wife? Now, understand why he wanted to do that. In the New Testament, it says, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those are the things that have always governed human flesh. Those are the things that we have got to make sure that we're aware of as we make decisions. See, he was going on the lust of the flesh, not the power of the spirit. He was making a decision on what would make him happy instead of what would make God happy. And ultimately, what would make God happy is going to make you happy. But if you just... Now, she was pretty. She was nice to look at. But you understand there's more than just that in any relationship. That is extremely shallow thing and have gotten lots of people in trouble making a decision based on the lust of the flesh. That Adam and Eve's problem was the lust of the flesh. The devil made that fruit on that tree look appealing to her. It was her flesh that desired that. Something that she was told she couldn't have, and the promise of what possibly that could do. And you got to imagine all the trees and the fruit. I'd like to see that fruit just to see what about it was. I mean, she had all these other ones. Why in the world just that? Well, that's the lust of the flesh that's about ready to get him. He's not thinking about what kind of wife is she going to make. He's not going to think about what kind of mother is she going to be. Doesn't matter. Doesn't thinking about is she going to love the same God that I'm going to love. All he's thinking about is that she's pretty. That's it. That's the decision he's making this on. And when you think about this and when you think about looks, obviously that plays into relationships, but you understand how shallow that is. And that's just a part of the fact that we are human nature. I mean, who makes us look the way we look to begin with? If you don't like that, you're going to have to go to the creator of the universe and tell him he's the one that did it, right? You know, but there's a lot of shallowness in our society today that pushes looks over personality, that pushes looks over godliness, that pushes looks all over all kinds of stuff. Here, he's about ready to step right into that because he's looking at the lust of the flesh. He's saying, but she's pretty. I desire. Listen, you can't trust your flesh. Because it desires things that your spirit shouldn't have. Okay? And he's desiring this, and he's basing it on one thing and one thing only. She's pretty. It's going to make me happy. Of course, that's short-lived. Okay? So his dad warns him about that in verse 3, that his father and mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And by the way, this story does not end well for him, and it will never end well then. Now, there's a very confusing verse right after this, but before we get to that verse, understand it did not work out well for him. It finished the course that it's always going to finish. She did not love the same God Samson loved. So no matter how you twist the story, it's not going to work out. Unless two people are equally yoked around a love for God, it's not going to work out. You're just constantly fighting yourself. Okay? So it goes on here in verse 4, but his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, verse 4 can be confusing. It's not saying that it was God's will for him to do that, because we know that would go against the Bible. That's not God's will for him to do that. He would never have him go and then do something that was wrong. It's very clear in the Bible that somebody, that a Jew wasn't supposed to marry somebody that wasn't a believer, and even today we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. That's never changed. And 1,000 centuries, that's never changed. It's not going to change. That was wrong for him to do that. Now understand, God in his foreknowledge knew he was going to do that. And what he was saying was, because he's going to do that, I'm going to use this, so I'm not going to interfere. All right, case in point. Let me put this on so I can wander a little bit. You ever wonder, in the Garden of Eden, is God omnipresent, yes or no? You believe that? Okay. Do you believe he learned? Oh, it's deader than a doornail. I'm going to have to just stand still. Do you believe he learned about Adam and Eve sinning when he came to the earth that afternoon? No. If he's omnipresent, he watched it happen. Can you explain to me why he didn't just show up and go, whoa, wait a minute. Are you sure you really want to do this? If he would have given a compelling argument, perhaps she would have said, whoa, he didn't do it. He could have done it. He knew it. He could have just come down there and said, now, wait a minute. Before you do that, let me give a rebuttal to his argument. He's telling you this, this, and this. Let me just give you a little bit more information as you begin to make your decision. Let me tell you the events that are going to follow as soon as you do that. This is what's going to take place. He could have done that. Why didn't he do that? Because he's God, that's why. Because that part of our free will, he's not messing with. Okay? I mean, going down there and doing it, he already told them not to eat the tree. That's all they needed. It was just to trust God. Well, right here, what he's saying to his dad is that his dad's now, he's doing this. He shouldn't do it. God's going to allow it and use it for his benefit, but at the end of the day, he still shouldn't have done it. But because he's going to do it, God is going to use this as an occasion against the Philistines. Now, the way it works out lets you know he shouldn't have done it, because it doesn't end well for this young lady at all. But what he's saying is, okay, if you're going to do this, then I'm going to use this for my benefit, since you're going to do it anyway. Same way when you look at that verse that says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Lots of times that gets people a little messed up, because it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And many a times people have used that in order to sit and say, you see, God does choose, except for one very important thing here. It's the birthright. If that wasn't in there, I'd raise my hand and tell you, okay, I'm on your page. But the problem is, it is in there. He sold that. God, in his foreknowledge, knew he was going to sell it. And because he knew he was going to sell it, and that no, that wasn't going to change, it was already in his heart, he did not honor the things of God. God knew that. He already looked down in his life. Remember, God can see the whole picture, and then he reins it in, and we live it in real life, but he's already seen it. He watched Pharaoh reject God, reject God, reject God, and because he saw all that, he said, you're mine, because I know no matter what I do, you're not going to accept me. Because he watched it from beginning to end. And he already knew what Pharaoh was going to do. So God used Pharaoh as his instrument. He already knew what Esau was going to do with the birthright. So therefore, he said, in order to say, I hate one and I love the other, there was a reason. And so just think about this. God, why are you upset with Esau? Because Esau sold his birthright. He chose the world over me. Now, if that reason wasn't there, okay, I'd give you that story. The problem is, it is. He did something in which would tell God that he wasn't interested. Sold his birthright. And God said, okay, I see where you stand, and he moved on. Because he's God. The same thing's happening here. It's not okay that he went and married somebody that he shouldn't have married. What God was saying to his dad, listen, we're not going to interfere here because he's made a decision, but I am going to use it. And he did. So let's go on to the rest of the story here. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyard of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now, I underline that because I want you to know in this story is that God is so patient. He is already starting to go down a wrong road, but God is so patient with us that when this lion came out, notice he didn't do anything under his own power. May I tell you something? Never take for granted the things that happen in your life. The good things that are there. Don't ever, ever convince yourself it happens because of your own ability. Every time Samson was strong, it was because the Spirit of God. Every pay raise you get, every deal on a house, no matter what it is, that's God working in you. Never take that for granted. And God wanted us to know that this wasn't something he was doing. That was something God was doing. And God gave him the power to kill the lion, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him, and he would have, he rent the kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. So here's again the same woman, and it's pleased him well. Always watch your flesh. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating. Well, he wasn't supposed to do that because he wasn't supposed to touch dead things. So that's another time he is just totally disregarding what God's telling him to do. Now, you notice the sky's not falling on him. You notice he still has power. Listen, never take the grace of God for granted. Just because you don't explode when you do wrong doesn't mean he's okay with it, and it doesn't mean there's no price. It just means he's being gracious. And how many times have we just spit right smack in the face of grace? Probably one of the one of the most, the things that we could do that would offend God the most is for him to give us grace and to be totally oblivious to it. I mean, when he doesn't take you off the planet for sin, and it's not because he didn't see you do it, or the fact that you don't deserve it, is he's kind and he's long-suffering. And man, if we'll respect that, whew. So, and he took thereof his hands and he went on eating, came to his father and mother and gave it them, and they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw that they brought 30 companions to be with them, and Samson said unto them, I will put forth a riddle. And he gives these men this riddle. And the riddle is, if you can certainly declare it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I'll give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, they shall give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth the riddle. Verse 14, and he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, who we knew was going to be a stumbling block to him, entice thy husband. See, you know what she's saying? The world went to her and said, listen, you are our sister. You're a Philistine. You got to choose sides today. And you know what she did? She chose sides. Because she was never a believer. So when it came time to be loyal, she was more loyal to the world. Do you see the danger of playing around with the world? The world will be loyal to itself. It'll sell you up a creek in a second. We shouldn't associate with it. We shouldn't count on it. Because it's of its father, the devil. And they said, hey, you're a Philistine. You need to tell us what your husband said. Verse 16, and Samson's wife wept before him. Boy, if there was a, he said, look, if you don't do this, now look at this. If you don't do this, thy father, we're going to burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Wow. So now she's under some pressure. Verse 16, man, she goes on and she puts on an award-winning production. And Samson's wife, now you think about this. You would think when it happens again with Delilah, you would think he would have, what's that word? PTSD. You'd think he would have PTSD later on. Because look what's getting ready to happen. A woman is coming to him and saying, you need to tell me something. And she starts crying. Oh, if you love me, you'll tell me. Now, why didn't the alarms go off in his mind later on when he's hearing this same thing? Don't you think some kind of way in his mind, he'd have put two and two together and go, I've seen how this went down before. I know how this ends. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not telling you nothing. But you know what sin will do? I mean, you would think that'd be pretty obvious, right? I mean, I can see it. Look at what did Delilah do? She cried. If you love me, then you'll tell me. Same story right here. The same thing. They always say, big guys are dumb. Maybe so a little bit here, because I'm looking at this going, come on, seriously? You can't see this? But I wonder how many times the angels in heaven look down at me and say, come on, Dave, seriously? You're about ready to believe the same stupid lie he's told you 100 times. Can't you see that? The moment Delilah started crying and saying, tell me what you know, something inside of him should have been going, woo, 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 woo. Danger, Will. Bad things are going to happen. So what does he do? He tells her. And she wept before him the 7 days with the feast. Verse 18, the people guessed the riddle. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day, before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. So he's saying, the only way you knew this, my wife had to tell you. Do you know, when I wonder, it's not in the Bible, but I wonder when Delilah there tells him that, and that night he finally gives in. And he says, the reason why I'm strong is because my hair, I haven't cut my hair. That was the last thing he promised God he wouldn't do. He broke all the rest of them. There is one little thread holding together the power of God in his life. That was it. And he let it go. And he said, the reason why I'm strong is because there's one promise I haven't broke to God, and that's all that's holding this together. I can't cut my hair. And when he woke up, his hair is gone. And the only way those men could have known that was somebody had to plow with his heifer again. You think about how stupid he must have felt. How violated by the world he must have felt that day, that he fell in the same dumb trap. Look, guys, don't give the devil the satisfaction of catching in the same trap. At least make him come up with a new one. Don't give him the satisfaction of just simply saying, all I got to do is get some woman to start crying. And do you know, as a result of that, Samson got his eyes stuck out with a poker stick. What God was saying is saying, buddy, that's been haunting you for a while. You know, so we don't have any more time with the rest of this story. And I'll get into it when I get back, but I'll tell you this much. Eventually, that woman and her family dies. They're all burned up. They all die. Because they didn't belong to the Lord to begin with. What a terrible, tragic story. The reason why I know that, because her family died. So it wasn't that God said, this is the perfect will for your life, Samson. I want you to marry that lady. What he said was, I'm going to use it. Never said it was for Samson's benefit he's going to use it. He just said, you're going to do that. You've already made up your mind that you're going to do that. And because of that, I'm going to use it. There's a lots of times, and this is why prodigals, the pig pen was never something God wanted for the prodigal, but God used it. That's not meaning that God would have just as soon he stayed home. Never left. You know, I think about these guys. God didn't want them to get messed up with drugs. But God used it. I mean, it's not something kids ought to go do, right? Because it turned out good for Randy. But God used it. We got to be, when we look at those things, we have to just understand, man, we have a sovereign God that knows more than we know. And he works behind the scenes and in things that we'll never see because he's in control. You know, and the second thing we can come through the story is, man, Lord help us. I mean, you look at this and say, Samson, are you crazy? Women crying and they both ask for you to give them a secret. Tomorrow, we can take what we know from the Word of God. God can help you outsmart the devil. He can do that. Just listen and pay attention. Put the puzzle pieces together and go, ha! I know how that ends, and I'm not touching it. You know? I bet you'd have a hard time getting Eve to touch another tree again. You know, that's one person I don't have to worry about wondering if she's a vegetarian. She's probably nothing but a meat eater. I don't want nothing to do with that. Saw how that ended. I'm staying away from that. Well, that's the way we need to be with the devil. Don't let him catch you in the same trap that he's caught you in before as we go through this week. So, and you know what? We can learn at the expense of somebody else because God put it in the Bible. What a waste to Samson's life if we don't learn from it. Father, thank you for the word tonight, and thank you for helping us to learn some things from it. And Lord, it is sad to watch that play out. It's almost like you want to jump down in the story and go, Samson, no. But then you watch us and you say the same thing. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to always see the world for what it is. It's never going to be our friend. It'll always choose itself over me all the time. Safety is with you. Safety is doing what you asked me to do. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be aware of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Help us to be cautious of what our flesh desires and wants. Because so many times, it's the root of what causes the problems. Help us to be aware of that. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn from the past times that we've been caught. If an animal can become trap shy and harder to catch, then we should too. Thank you for the traps in our lives that you and your grace reached down and undid the trap. Help us to not get caught again in the same trap. Lord, we love you. I pray you'd help us as we go our separate ways tonight. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.